thank you everybody again for being here. As always, thank you for what you do. You hold public servants accountable. That's really important, especially important in this time of the pandemic. And as we continue to fight this virus and try to stay safe, we're also going to continue to look for ways to give you the access that you deserve. I promise we would do that. This format is different from the format that we were originally using. I think it's better, but as many of you have pointed out, the chance for follow-up questions and things like that, we need to do a better job there. So we continue to work on that. You know, Lindsay and Sarah and Mark and the communications team are doing that. So we will continue to work on that. But now let me turn it over back to for some of your questions.
This is sort of a step back, broader question, but you know, I realize that in sort of balancing this over what was happening over the weekend and your response on Monday, that you want to maintain the gubernatorial powers to manage how this recovery is done. But do you have concerns about how politicized this is becoming and how that might affect the response in the sort of weeks and months ahead, given how much this depends on sort of trusting officials and all this kind of stuff? Are you concerned about the level of politicization of the response?
Yeah, that's a good question. What I was trying to say Monday is that we can't afford to politicize this. This is really a fight that we're all in together, and we have a common enemy. It's the virus, and it's not each other. The intramural squabbling is not going to get us to a safe place. And I recognize that we can all have differences of opinion as to how we do this, and we are in uncharted territory here. But ultimately, all of our goal, we all have the same goal, and that is to stay safe and to defeat this virus. And so to the extent we distract ourselves with any in any way, politicizing it by trying to figure out the point fingers at something other than the virus, we're basically playing right into the virus's hands here. I think Pennsylvania's done a phenomenal job of limiting the impact of this virus. But as much as we've done, and as frustrating and hard and destructive as this has been for our economy, we've still lost almost 4,000 lives, and we have somewhere around 60,000 people, I think, who have been infected that we know of with the disease. So we are bending the curve. We are having some success, and that is reflected in over half the counties in Pennsylvania as of tomorrow will be open, and there will be more coming. So we need to do everything we can to stay safe. We need to do everything we can to focus all of our attention on this deadly virus, and to your point, anything we do other than that, I think, distracts us and reduces the efficacy of our efforts.
Are you planning tomorrow to announce more counties moving to yellow? And if so, are there any regions that you're specifically targeting?
We'll be making another announcement tomorrow, and we will decide tomorrow morning what those counties are.
And I want to couch it in my takeaway from previous statements you made about the process. And one of the things I think you said was, in an emergency, sometimes that process gets pushed to the side. The opioid crisis caused you to declare an emergency for a 90-day period. It was re-upped, or increments were added again and again. So I believe it extended for years. If you use that measuring stick, it could be years until your administration answers right to no requests. How can you make the claim you're being transparent when the media's number one tool for transparency may be on the shelf for that long?
Yeah, well, there are two things. The opioid epidemic, I use the emergency powers because we don't have a health emergency, which is what we really need. And for some reason, that got held up in the House of Representatives. The Senate actually passed it overwhelmingly. And so given this blunt instrument that I have, I have had to renew it every 3 months. But what I really need is something for the opioid epidemic, something that is tailored for a health crisis, not something that's a broad brush. The problem with this, and I'm sorry if I misspoke. I think you're talking about the open records process, and it does require a certain number of people who deal with that on a day-in, day-out basis. And right now, there are a lot of people who aren't in the office, and so are not able to answer these requests on a timely basis. So when I spoke, I probably was I think I was in error in saying that this is something that is normally suspended in a state of emergency. I don't think that's the case. I'm not a lawyer, but I don't think that's the case. I think what happens is that you have a practical problem with people just not coming to work, and some of those people are the people who are responsible for responding to open records requests. So I'm trying to be transparent in this. I'm trying to share information to the extent I can. The extent I can is somewhat limited by the practical reality that a lot of people are not coming to work. So I didn't mean to say that this was something, because I don't, again, I'm not a lawyer, but I don't think that is something that automatically gets suspended. I don't think it does during a crisis. It's just that there are fewer people available to do the things that
an open
records process requires. So, again, I'm trying to be transparent, but there's some things that we have fewer people and things don't get done.
I'm wondering, given the amount of available ventilators and the number of hospital beds, whether you are rethinking your criteria is in the red and are considering liberalizing your criteria, such as the 50 cases per 100,000 over 14 days.
Yeah, no, we're not. I think you're right, though, that we are in a better place now in terms of having flattened the curve, as they say, so that the ventilator use as of today, I think, was down to the low 20% range. I think there's still a few concerns with personal protective equipment, but I think in most cases and in most areas, we are in okay shape in terms of hospital capacity. I think we still need to see a flattening of the curve, and I think one of the indicators of that is a 50 cases in 100,000 people over a 14-day period. And there are other things that we keep looking at to make sure that we're safe. Again, the goal here is not to come up with some arbitrary figure. It's to say, okay, in our best estimate, what is it that we can do to keep people safe? And part of that has to do with hospital capacity. But part of it has to do with how we're just doing in terms of practicing social distancing, wearing masks, staying home when it's possible. To the extent we do that, whether we're in red, yellow, or green, we're going to defeat any disease that does well when people congregate. I'm looking at how we're doing, and we really haven't changed all that much. We try to get as objective as we can, and we're working on ways to make this much more open and transparent and share that information. But there's not one statistic that we're looking at, like the capacity of the hospitals. That's one thing. We're looking at the number of cases per 100,000 population. That's one thing. But again, all of this is in the service of trying to keep people safe. We're constantly looking at that, and if we can come up with something that's better, we will. But again, the goal has not changed one bit. It's keeping people safe, and the more we know how to do that, the better we're going to be, and the quicker we're going to get through this tough phase that we're in, frustrating phase that we're all in.
So, yeah, we have a number of, including hair salons, gyms, and now a restaurant in violation of your orders. Does these violators, be looked at as possibly risking those county status as far as reverting back? Or what's your opinion on that and how to deal with them?
No, we're looking at, well, to the extent that, that what they do actually makes the numbers in that county worse, yeah, they are risking that. But a handful of it doing that, I don't think actually will bend the statistics overall. But here's the problem with that. The state has the obligation to license these locations to provide certification that they're operating safely. How can the state be relied upon to do that or be trusted to do that if we're going to turn a blind eye to that kind of thing? So I don't think that a handful of businesses ignoring this is going to affect the county, probably too small a number. But every time one person does it or one business does it, and to the extent that multiplies, then that does start to get into hampering the efforts to contain this virus. And if a virus is not stopped, if it flares up because we're ignoring the virus and the way the virus infects, you know, one person after another, and the close contact between people is what really makes this virus grow, if we ignore that and people aren't safe as a result, that's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem for the county, because the numbers aren't going to be good, and it's not good for, I don't think, the customers. I can't understand, as a former business owner myself, I'm not sure how a business can justify putting their customers or their employees in harm's way. So, you know, a handful of businesses doing this, they risk, you know, the Department of State calling and saying, hey, you know, you're taking a risk here with your license, and you're making us look foolish if we can't say to your customers, hey, we think you're safe. But a few of them doing that is probably not going to affect the numbers all that much. What it could do, though, is lead to an explosion of violations, which basically is not a violation of the law as much as it is a violation of the rules of combat here with this virus. And the virus is going to say, thank you very much. I think you're just giving me some great opportunities to infect a lot more people. And that's not going to help anybody's numbers in terms of saying, okay, you're ready to go from red to yellow or yellow to green.
Today the state recorded that 1.8 million claims have been filed in unemployment since March 15th. Governor, what's being done to maybe accommodate the influx of those in need and get them kind of some financial support? Are there any new efforts?
A lot of new efforts. We're doing a lot of things. The first thing is some of those new claims are actually from the PUA claims, the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance claims, which is a separate system from the traditional unemployment compensation, but the money comes out from the same Department of Labor and Industry. So we have a whole new computer system doing that. In terms of the traditional unemployment compensation, we typically have 500 people in the call center. We now are moving toward, and we have to take usually 3 weeks of training. I think we have that down to 10 days or 9 days now. But we're getting close to, I think, 1,300 people working the call centers. And these are people we're bringing from other departments, Department of Revenue. We're bringing back people who have retired from the Department of Labor and Industry who understand that. But as you pointed out with those numbers, we have been overwhelmed by the number of new initial claims in addition to the continuing claims, and have sent out already billions of dollars. So we have, I think, worked hard to try to deal with this avalanche of claims. And there's no question that we have not been able to keep up. We are doing everything in our power, again, investing in new technology. We actually have invested in a Watson, a bot, basically, to help us in dealing with calls that are coming in and in our chat rooms. But we are continuing to look for new ways and work on new ways to bring more and more people in and have the turnaround time get down to a point where we can actually deal with all the claims that are flowing into the Commonwealth as quickly as we possibly can.
I just want to follow up on Mark's question on the reopening criteria. Today, a Bucks county commissioners said they have received some indication that your administration might change or take another look at the metrics that have been put out there for reopening, or at least have a little flexibility on those metrics. So is that the case? I mean, I know you all have said that that there will be some subjectivity involved, but are there any conversations going on about reconsidering the metrics, particularly that 50 per 100,000 number?
No, there's not. And I heard about the Bucks County press conference. I have to admit that I'm baffled by what they were talking about. We always look at ways to do a better job of applying the evidence to defeat this virus, but I don't know of any effort. I think I would know about this if we were actually changing the criteria. We're not. We are looking to do a better job of making the criteria we use public. And trying to figure out ways to do that. And we're also going to have to figure out a good way of making sure that we are as transparent as we can be in terms of showing people how they're doing once they get into the yellow, because that is, that's still a moving target. We're still trying to keep the virus at bay. And we're going to have to know, and the public, we're all going to have to be able to look at the same scorecard and say, yeah, we are or we're not successful here. So we are always talking about ways to do that. We're always talking about ways to look at every bit of evidence. But I don't know of any change or any thing that anybody's doing to change the goalposts here.
I was wondering, from a fiscal standpoint, with the state's current finances, its upcoming finances, and current debate in Washington over a next round of fiscal action in Congress, what you think the state might need or what you would like to see out of that. I was listening to Treasurer Corsella on a call the other day saying that he believes the state was really going to need some additional action out of D.C. in order to kind of keep the ship steady, and I wonder if you have any input on that.
Yeah, there are a couple of things. First of all, Pennsylvania, if you listen to Moody's Analytics, had a report yesterday that said that this is something that all 50 states are struggling with. Obviously, this is an economic disaster all across the board. And so the states that are probably least affected, or one of the states that actually is a fairly, I mean, we're all in bad situations, but less bad, would be states like Pennsylvania, where we have a big predominance of health care and institutions of higher education. So there are a lot of people who are continuing to work. We have a lot of people who can do telework. So that is one good thing. The bad thing, obviously, is that there are a lot of people who are not working right now, and that means that the collections on things like personal income tax are going to be hit. That probably will be affected. That's usually a year lag. Although this year, with moving the personal income tax deadline, filing deadline back to July 15th, that moves it into the next fiscal year. It turns out people are still filing and still paying on the personal income tax. The sales tax has been hit by stores and restaurants being closed, but there has been a big pickup in online sales, so I don't expect that to offset the decline, but that has had some help. So we're looking at a deficit. We're not sure exactly what it is by the time we get to June 30th, but just to remind you, up until this thing hit, the end of February, we were about $250 million ahead of our revenue estimate, which was very good. By the end of March, 1 month later, we had actually given all that up. So the third quarter is going to be fairly bad, I would say. So we do need, like every other state, we're petitioning and lobbying Congress and the federal government to give us some help. And there are a number of different bills, some bipartisan. You know, the House of Representatives has come up with a fairly ambitious opening bargaining point. The U.S. Senate is in a different place. and they'll have to negotiate and reconcile that, and that probably won't happen for another couple months. In addition to the general fund, there are things like the Unemployment Compensation Trust Fund. Up until this hit, we were actually on our way to being solvent and in very good shape. Right now, this is causing some problems, but again, the federal government is doing a good job of addressing the needs of unemployment compensation, and they are footing the bill for the additional $600 a week and the PUA claims, so as well as making facilities available for continuing if this goes on for an extended period of time, or if the virus comes back in the fall. So the extent, the specific, the precise extent to which the Commonwealth is going to need help has yet to be determined. But at this point, it's pretty clear that we are going to need help and are lobbying the federal government to continue to look for ways to help us. And this is true of the universities, it's private and public. It's true of our healthcare system. The state has some programs in place to help both businesses and the healthcare system, but the federal government does too, and all those things are going to be necessary. So we're all, the businesses, the state government, we're all in the same boat, and that is we're looking at some pretty dismal financial prospects here that'll probably be more of an impact in the next fiscal year than in this, but even in this fiscal year, the fourth quarter, fairly substantial.
On unemployment compensation. So I know you've addressed this before, but we're continuing to get a lot of emails and phone calls into the newsroom about this, saying the system is still broken. And we looked at the website, and it says about 41 days is the time that you will get a response. So do you have a comment on that?
Yeah. First of all, acknowledge that this is a challenge, and this is probably the most important thing for us to get right. When I came here, the system at the Department of Labor and Industry, even in a steady state for handling unemployment compensation claims, the computer system was inadequate. I think the Auditor General said that back in 2017. And it was a system that was supposed to have been upgraded starting, I think, back in 2006, but never was successfully, for whatever reason. So we are putting a new system into place, but it won't be fully in place until October. We also have the challenge of this new system for the gig economy workers and self-employed workers who are out of business or unemployed during this stay-at-home order. And so that system is up and running, and I think working pretty well. The traditional system with the computer process that is on its way out by October is doing less well, and we're trying to make up for that by investing in new technology that can make this existing old system work better, and in new people. So as I said, we started with 500 people in sort of a normal state. We're now up to about 1,300 people, either in training or already working on the call center. We've beefed up the processing capabilities in Department of Labor and Industry, more people, and we have more people even in the mailroom. So we're doing a lot of things to try to address this, but it all comes back to acknowledging that we need to do better, and we will continue to work to do better. But this is something that is front and center, and every day in every daily staff meeting, we look at the statistics and try to figure out ways that we can keep doing a better job.
Governor, is there any mechanism or process in place? A lot of counties that are red believe they should be yellow. Is there any process in place for those counties to sort of argue their case for going yellow? If so, what is that? How does that work? And if not, is that something that has been considered?
There is they've actually taken great use of that, and that is the General Assembly, and my own office has a whole host of state workers whose sole job is to stay in touch with the county commissioners. I meet with the county commissioners, have another meeting tomorrow, members of the county commissioners organization, CCAP. So there are a number of different ways for them to make their desires and complaints known to me. Again, though, it comes back to this is not, I mean, obviously if there's certain areas where we need to talk about a better way of looking at this or a different way of looking at that, I'm all ears with that. I think what we have to keep in mind is that this is not about some abstract policy or law. This is the virus we're fighting, and what we need to do is figure out how we can fight this virus in a way that maximizes the chances that the people that we and the public servants in each county are trying to serve to keep them safe. And so we create a lot of different ways and avenues for different views to be being expressed, and I think you have reported on a whole number of those things. The challenge keeps coming back to, okay, you know, we can all express frustration with the way this virus is affecting us. I think we should. I'm frustrated. We should express disappointment that we're not going faster. Although Pennsylvania has done pretty well, we can understand the severe price that we've all paid for suffering with this virus. But in the end, we've got to defeat the virus, not each other. And when we talk about the different things we're trying to do or different things we're looking at, it's all can we do anything more or a better job of getting through this virus, getting to the point where we can say, yeah, let's reopen, and everybody says, I'm coming out of my house, I feel safe, I feel like I can go back to work, I can go to shop, I can do all the things, I can go to school, I can do the things that make for a fairly normal life in an infectious disease world. Those are the things that we have to keep talking about, and I think I'm creating every opportunity for that, those views as to how we can do that. If there's a better way to do that, I'm all ears. But simply flicking a switch or waving a magic wand and saying, we're just going to open up, we don't really care about the virus, that doesn't make any sense to me. And I think we need to resist that siren call, as seductive as it is, to say, you know, what we really want to do is defeat the virus, not come up with some arbitrary set of things that makes us feel good and say, okay, we're back to work if the result is that people get sick.
Thank you very much, Governor Wolf. That is all the time we have for today.